want to read firstly in John's Gospel, John chapter 11, page 1283. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and Martha her sister. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard he is sick, he remained 2 days then in the place where he was. Then after this, he says to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. The disciples say to him, Rabbi, even but now the Jews sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walk in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walk in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things said he, and after this he says to them, Lazarus, our friend, is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he be fallen asleep, he will get well. But Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he spoke of the rest of sleep. Jesus therefore said to them plainly, Lazarus has died. And I rejoice on your account that I was not there, in order that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas therefore, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus therefore, on arriving, found him to have been 4 days already in the tomb. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, that they might console them concerning their brother. Martha then, when she heard Jesus' coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus says to her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Believest thou this? She says to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. And having said this, she went away and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, The teacher is come and calls thee. She, when she heard that, rises up quickly and comes to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha came to meet him. The Jews, therefore, who were with her in the house, consoling her, seeing Mary, that she rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the tomb, that she may weep there. Mary, therefore, when she came where Jesus was, seeing him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus, therefore, when he saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and said, Where have you put him? They say to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews therefore said, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who has opened the eyes of the blind man have caused that this man also should not have died? Jesus therefore again, deeply moved in himself, he comes to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead, says to him, Lord, he stinks already, for he is 4 days there. Jesus says to her, Did I not say to thee, that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? They took therefore the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes on high, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But I knew that thou always hearest me. But on account of the crowd who stand around, I have said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And having said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth, bound feet and hands with grave clothes, and his face was bound round with a handkerchief. Jesus says to him, Loose him and let him go. Many, therefore, of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done, believed on him. We live in a world that is sadly marked by death, marked by the effect of death. We see around us and we hear on the news, we see the effect of death that has come into this creation, this perfect world that God created. Many people are wondering what's happening to the world. It seems to be getting regularly worse, doesn't it? Law and order's breaking down and many, many things are going wrong with the world. Wars are going on where there doesn't seem to be ever any end to them. Thousands, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands of men are being killed every day or week in places like Ukraine and many other places. How tragic it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ stands as unique, dear friends. This is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the life of the Lord Jesus. One of the greatest and one of the most wonderful. And I think in these days in which we are, these days which are so marked by suffering and death, as there always has been throughout man's history, I thought it'd be wonderful to look at the glory of the Lord Jesus and how he is able to raise up from the dead. He is able to raise from the dead. He did it then and he's doing it now in a different way. So the Lord Jesus had friends of his who were very close friends of his in this place called Bethany. He had Mary and Martha and Lazarus were a small family that he knew very well, and he was very close friends with these followers of him, that this man Lazarus was sick. Sickness comes from sin. We often think, why do so many people suffer in the world? Why do so many people get terrible diseases? Why is there so much suffering in the world? People, children with cancer and all sorts of terrible sicknesses that come in as a result of that. This man was sick, and we all know what it's like to have someone close to us who's been sick in some way. But the Lord Jesus has come to this place where he's come to, there was a man sick of Lazarus who was in Bethany, and he gets the message that Lazarus is sick. Jesus said, this is a sickness not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Jesus is going to do something which is beyond our minds to tell. He's going to do something which is going to glorify God. And he's going to do a miracle for us to learn from. Every single detail of Jesus' life we are to learn from. Every detail in the scriptures. He says, Jesus loved Martha. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's a wonderful example of the love of the Lord Jesus for us. He loves us. His love is towards each one of us tonight. The gospel is the message of the love of God towards the sinner. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were sinners just like us. They weren't perfect. They were followers of Jesus and they were friends of Jesus. But Jesus, in his wisdom and his divine wisdom, stays in the place where he is 2 days. He delays coming. And he says, Jesus says, Lazarus, our friend, is fallen asleep. Jesus already knew in advance that Lazarus had died. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. That's very interesting, isn't it? Because in the face of the Lord Jesus and all his majesty and power, the death of the body is but sleep. And it says Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought that he'd spoke of the rest of sleep. So Jesus comes and he finds that he's been already 4 days in the tomb. Bethany was near Jerusalem. So Jesus, when he gets to the tomb, has found that Lazarus has been already 4 days. 4 days is long enough, dear friends, for the body to have started to decompose, to And it's long enough for him to have been certainly dead. But I just wanted to focus mainly on what the Lord Jesus says himself. Jesus says to her, Martha, in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. We teach the children memory verses in Sunday school, and this has certainly been a memory verse many times. Jesus makes a claim, and then he proves the truth of the claim. How unique Jesus is. He stands out unlike any other man, woman, or child that has ever lived on the earth. Yesterday, I went to get my ears treated, and I went to a very friendly Asian man who gave me treatment for my ears, but afterwards he showed me a very complex diagram of the inner ear. It was fascinating. The inner ear, the whole of the ear, is an amazing instrument, just like most all of our body. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. There are tiny bones in the inside of your ear that vibrate and turn the sound into electrical impulses. Absolutely wonderful complexity. And he was explaining to me how beautifully designed, amazingly designed the ear is. And there's many scriptures that talk about he that has ears to hear, let him hear. The gospel is coming out to those that have, in order that we might have ears to hear, in order that we might hear God's voice speaking to us. And it was wonderful to be able to explain to him that the claim of Christianity is that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh, and that he alone was able to heal the ear. We can see many times in the scriptures Jesus heals the man who is deaf, someone who is deaf. He restores the beauty of that marvellous instrument in our heads called our ears. And the eyes, of course, are another amazing miracle of God's creation. But this is what led me towards John's Gospel, because John's Gospel highlights the fact that God is manifest in flesh. It highlights that he is the Son of God. He is equal with God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. What a claim to make. It's far greater than any other claim that anyone else has ever made. And he made that claim and then proved it. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just that I give life to those that believe in me, which he does. I am the resurrection and the life. Life is found alone in him. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, he that believes my words, he that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. Jesus was about to raise a dead man. We'll see that a bit later. He was about to raise a dead man to prove what he said was true. And he does the same today. You might say, how does Jesus raise the dead today? We don't see dead bodies being raised in the same way today, do we? But we see the dead being raised spiritually. And we are all dead spiritually before we are made anew. Before we're given a new life by Jesus, we are all in that same state as Lazarus. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead and away from God. We're separated from God because of our sin. Lazarus died because he was a sinner. Everyone that dies is because of sin. It's because of the way in which we've rebelled against a holy and righteous God. God is the giver of life. He gave perfect life to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He gave them everything that they could have wanted. He gave them a perfect paradise to live in. He is the giver of life. If we rebel against the giver of life, we can expect death. God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that ye eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye will certainly die. Every word that God says is true. When he gives a promise in his word, it will come to pass. And Jesus is restoring here to life those who have died. And he's doing that tonight. He's doing that in this place. And he's doing that wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the message of the Lord Jesus is announced, He is restoring to life those that believe in him. And that is available for you tonight, dear friends, if you have not already received that life from him. How wonderful that is. I could have just read that one verse, but I wanted to read the rest because so that we could see the wider story. The I am sayings of Jesus have such power, such mighty power, because they are about who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. What do we have to do? For according to this verse, we have to believe on him. We have to accept him for who he is. Accept his words that he is the Lord and Saviour, and accept him as our Lord and Saviour, putting our faith and trust in him and repenting to God. Repenting means to turn away from our sin. Repenting means to recognise the depth and wickedness of our sin. The fact that we've all broken God's commandments. We've all rebelled against God's commandments. We've all chosen to go our own way. And just like Lazarus, we are in that state of death, spiritual death. But it says, he that believes on me, though he have died, though he's been dead in sins, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. What a wonderful promise that is. Every true believer who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall never die spiritually, shall never die eternally, shall never be subject to death, the second death, which awaits every one who has rejected God. What a warning that is. There is two deaths. There is the death of the body, and there's the second death in hell. What a warning, dear friends. But everyone who is in Christ, though he hath died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. The true believer who has repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus has a life inside of them, the eternal life, which goes on into eternity. How wonderful, dear friends. And the gospel is available, makes it available to everyone, whosoever will may come, to recognize our need of the Lord Jesus. And what does he say? Jesus says, believest thou this? Do you believe this? And he's asking the same question for us tonight. Do you believe this? Martha says to him, yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. So Jesus comes into the village and he comes into the place. Verse 32, Mary therefore, when she came where Jesus was, fell at his feet, said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. In verse 32, she recognized that Jesus had such power that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. That shows that he's the Lord of life. He is the Lord of life. The creator, the upholder of the universe, the upholder of life. He by whom the worlds were made. And we see that many times in the life of Jesus, don't we? He stops a funeral procession and he tells the dead, wake up. How glorious that is. How wonderful the power that Jesus has to raise back to life. And I was also touched by how the feelings that Jesus has for this grieving family. Martha and Mary were very, very deeply upset that they had lost their brother. Their brother had died and he'd been dead 4 days. But Jesus says, notice in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He felt very deeply the effect of sin on his creation. He felt very sorry and deeply sympathetic to Martha and Mary. He was greatly upset on the fact that Lazarus had died. That shows how much Jesus feels for us in our sorrow. He's called the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What a touching title that is of the Lord Jesus. He feels in our sorrows. He's sympathetic to us in our difficulties. He knows the deepest depths of our sorrow and depression. He knows the deepest depths that we have ever suffered. The things that we have gone through, he knows everything about us. And he is a sympathetic high priest for the believer. He appears before God's face for us. There are many psalms that I haven't got time to go into that talk about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 22, Psalm 69. How deep the Lord Jesus feels for us when we go through suffering. Notice what the Jew said in verse 36. Behold how he loved him. Jesus' life was a reflection of the love and kindness of God towards mankind, a broken, sinful world. Behold how he loved him. And then in verse 38, Jesus is deeply moved in himself. He's so deeply moved, dear friends, that it's very, very strong emotion, this is. It's a combination of being deeply sorry and sad and also angry at the way that sin had brought in terrible destruction on the creation. This is the Creator God who's come into God manifest in flesh, and he's very deeply sorrowful and angry about the awfulness of death that has come in. It's maybe a little bit like we feel, maybe we can understand a little bit like this when we hear about terrible acts of atrocities that are done. How we feel when young innocent children are murdered. How we feel when terrible, terrible crimes are done in the world today. The awfulness and wickedness of man and the wickedness of the human heart. The Lord Jesus feels this very, very deeply. He feels it because he's going to pay the price for sin. He's going to go onto the cross later to pay the price for our sin. But then he says something quite remarkable. He tells Martha, take away the stone. Verse 39. In other words, open up the grave. Lazarus has been there for 4 days. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha says he stinks already, for he is 4 days there. And Jesus again says something very, very remarkable, doesn't he? He says in verse 40, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Have you believed, dear friends, and seen the glory of God? Have you believed and seen the glory of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he does? Then he prays this prayer. They take away the stone and he prays this prayer. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But I knew thou always hearest thee, but on account of the crowd, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He speaks to his Father. He prays to his Father directly. He gives thanks and honour to his God and Father. And then he cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. What an amazing statement that is. What an amazing voice of power, dear friends. Come out. Come out of death. Come out of that place that is holding you. Come out of the awfulness of darkness of death. And Lazarus comes out. The dead came forth, bound feet and hands with grave clothes. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Jesus is saying to us, come out of the state of death and sin that you are in. Come out and believe in me. Everyone that believes on me shall never die. Jesus is saying, come out. And that, dear friends, is the message tonight. Jesus was going to go to the cross. He was going to soon go onto Calvary's cross to bear the punishment rightfully due to us. He was going to be whipped. He was going to be mocked with a crown of thorn. He was going to be clothed with a purple robe. He was going to receive the most brutal, barbaric treatment that's ever been given. He was going to bear that in perfect obedience to his Father's will. He was going to bear that patiently for you and for me. He was going to bear the awfulness of crucifixion, being nailed feet and hands to a cross. He was going to bear the 3 hours of darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? Was his cry from the cross. He was going to bear the awfulness of the punishment that God would lay upon him for the things that you and I have done. He was going to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Have you recognised that he went that way for you, dear friends? Have you recognised that he went that way in order that you and I might be set free? In order that you and I, like he says in this passage, shall never die but live. Dear friends, tonight life is on offer. Life is available. Life is found alone in Jesus. Lazarus was raised out of the dead and loosed and let go. And that, dear friends, is what happens in the gospel when souls put their faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross and he was buried. He himself was buried. But unlike Lazarus, he raised himself from the dead. He says to himself, I have authority to lay down my life and I have authority to take it again. Dear friends, the tomb is empty. 4 days Lazarus was in the tomb. Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. How wonderful that is. How we can rejoice the tomb is empty. Amen. The tomb is empty for the believer, for those, and the tomb is empty and he's now risen and ascended and glorified. And we look for him to come. Amen. One day he will reign over the earth. Amen. Every knee will bow before him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to God the Father's glory. What an opportunity tonight, dear friends, to receive that life that he alone offers us. He offers us a life, a new life in him, eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. May we have that assurance that we've been saved. May we have that assurance that we've believed on him and put our faith and trust in his finished work at Calvary's cross for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.